Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Akarnyatma Jamayantam Samparetya Yatagatam Raja Nisha Dade Bhadram Abhadrasya Kuto Mama. When King Uttapada heard that his son Dhruva was coming back home, as if coming. One second, I'm just going to call up again because I'm hearing a reverberation. So I'll be back with you in just a minute. Okay, Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhara Swami. I'm back. When King Uttapada heard that his son Dhruva was coming back home, as if coming back to life after death, he could not put his faith in this message, for he was doubtful of how it could happen. He considered himself the most wretched, and therefore he thought that it was not possible for him to attain such good fortune. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj, a five-year-old boy, went to the forest for penance and austerity. And the king could not at all believe that a small boy of such tender age could live in the forest. He was certain that Dhruva was dead. He therefore could not fix his faith in the message that Dhruva Maharaj was coming back home again. Then this message said that a dead man was coming back home, and so he could not believe it. After Dhruva Maharaj's departure from home, King Uttapada thought that he was the cause of Dhruva's leaving, and thus he considered himself the most wretched. Therefore, even though it was possible that his lost son was coming back from the kingdom of death, he thought that since he was most sinful, it was not possible for him to be so fortunate as to get back his lost son. Om Jnana Timurandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Mutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, we're reading the story of Dhruva Maharaj, a young boy who was horribly insulted, and because he had the samskaras of a kshatriya, who requires some type of passion or pride, even in their service, he wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma, and somehow or other, he got it. And it's a wonderful story. And one thing that's really, I think, a very essential message here is that devotional service is powerful. Or when one performs powerful devotional service, even when mixed, there's powerful results. What does it mean, even with Nix? He had a motive, but he performed the service. He chanted his rounds powerfully, and he was very, very determined. And considering that he was such a young boy, it was very impressive. And one thing we can understand about Krishna consciousness, it's the path of grace. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam mayametam tarantiye. That when you yesham twantakatam, tesham satati yuktanam, when you're always engaged in devotional service, bhajatam priti purvakam, love and devotion, then the dami buddhi, God gives, God reciprocates. It's a really essential point in our philosophy to understand that the Supreme Lord is witnessing our activities. As Prabhupada said, God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. There is reciprocation, there is pleasure. The things we should chant, remember when Sadhu and Vrindavan told me we should chant very sweetly because Krishna is hearing. You know the story of the wives of the Brahmins? That even though they hadn't met Krishna because they were constantly hearing about Krishna and they developed, gave up all desires for anything else, that voice in the heart, not only God hears, but that's God's pleasure, because God's pleasure is love. And at the perfectional stage or the advanced stage, that energy comes into our hearts. And our mind becomes one with the loving energy of the Supreme Lord. That's called Tadatmika. It becomes like one. And that consciousness pervades our activities. And Krishna sees. Sees that. He witnesses. There's reciprocation. And Krishna saw a boy who was intensely engaged in devotional service, even though he was so young. And Krishna chose to look at the service. Mixed does not mean that everything we do is with motive. It means some of the things we do is with motive, or we don't have pure desires. We see again and again in the Krishna consciousness movement how Prabhupada and Krishna, especially many people I know died in Vrindavan, weren't pure, weren't great sadhakas, but somehow or other they had sincerity of heart. And it was expressed in various ways for the pleasure of God. This is the principle of the universe. Rasa Vaisaha. The ultimate reality is love. And what does that mean? It means that the ultimate reality is Krishna exchanging with his devotees or his own energies within the hearts of his devotees. And that's the most important principle. And that's our most important service, is to get that love. If we're doing devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, the pleasure of Krishna is love. The pleasure of Guru is love. Devotion and selflessness. But as this story shows, a kama sarva karma va moksha kama udara dita vrena bhakti yoga yajeta. But as we see here, this forceful service gets reciprocation. And somehow or other, he achieves success, at least his goal. And the success is very interesting. The material success is given. But it's given by Krishna in such a way that the material success is pale in comparison to Krishna. And we have to come to this point of devotional service. Everything else has to be pale in comparison to Krishna. There has to be some taste from devotional service. And that taste comes, honestly, when we're fixed. Nishtha. Nishtha. From Nishtha comes Ruchi. Just like in the Shikshastakam, there's the verse, Chanadapi Sinichena Tororapi Sahishnana Amanina Madanena Kirtaniya Siddhahari. One should chant the holy name in the humble state of mind, picking oneself more down the tree, below in the store in the street, devoid of all sense, prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant constantly. That is Nishtha. That is nishta. One chance constantly. Of course, it's nishta in both the activity, kirtaniya siddhahari, it's nishta in both in the terms that we're always chanting, but it's also nishta in our behavior. We're always humble, we're always tolerant. We're always ready to offer all respects. This is the process of Raganuga. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. This is the method of success. More important than thoughts of Krishna are feelings for Krishna. And this is the foundational platform where these feelings come. Humility, tolerance, respect, and chanting always. This is the process that Lord Chaitanya gave, the chanting the holy name. And when it's kirtaniya siddhahari, then it's nishta. And then from nishta comes ruchi, genuine feeling. The dhanam, the janam, the sundaram, I don't want any wealth, really in your heart. It's nishta, therefore you don't want these things because you're getting taste. I gave the example, of going to the Himalayas, and drinking the water coming before it hits the plains, and understanding what Krishna meant in Bhagavad Gita by rasaham apsukontaya, that I am the taste of water, because the water is not mixed with anything, and it's tasty, and it goes down the plains, and minerals come and mix it, and it loses its taste. So as water is tasty when pure, not mixed with anything, then devotional service is tasty when you are nishta and when you are fixed. And when you get that taste, then vishyabhani vartante, nirahasyadehana, raso rajam rasoka, param drishva nivartate. When you get that taste, a drop of divine love, a drop of the transcendental pleasure emanating from the Supreme Lord. When you are fixed and focused on the holy name of Krishna, when you get a drop of that, then nadam, I don't want wealth. Najanam, I don't want followers. Sundarim ka, I don't want beautiful women. I only want one thing. Mama janmani janmani bhagatad bhaktir hutaki prayu. I only want to serve you. Then that taste comes. And when that taste comes, you lose taste for everything else because there is no comparison to consciousness being happy and pure. Even if you don't have things that stimulate you or promote your ego, but consciousness is pure. And that is the platform of happiness. And that's what happened to Dhruva Maharaj. Somehow or other, by his intense practice, he got what he wanted materially, but he also got Krishna. And when he weighed the two, there's no comparison. And therefore, bhakti is apratiyata. It's without break when you have it. Like the rivers are flowing to the ocean. There's no obstacles that can stop the river coming down from the mountain to the ocean. Apratiyata means that there's nothing better. Unbroken means that there's nothing better than the activity you're doing and nothing more painful than giving it up. And therefore, it can't be stopped because there's such taste. I mentioned when I was reading this book Jay Vaitamarj gave me on how a short book on how a sociologist studied. How did Christianity come from a small cult to spread all over the three worlds. He gave to spread all over the world in such a powerful way. And he told the person described different things. But what was the martyrs? People were tortured, give up Jesus, but they said no. There's nothing more painful than giving up Jesus. There's nothing more pleasurable than his service. No, we won't give it up. And people saw that type of taste, that they have something they're able to tolerate so much. It's so good. There's nothing one can do to make them give it up. So anyway, Dhruva Maharaj got God, and then he really got this kingdom, and he was just feeling like, that's broken glass compared to the jewels of devotional service. We have to have this faith. This faith is everything. Faith is conviction in a particular goal. And faith in devotional service is conviction in the goal of devotional service. And that conviction that there's nothing more sublime. And that's what God wants to give us. And it's worth any price to pay for it, because it's so good. Now, here, somehow Dhruva survives, and we see his father beyond belief. He thought he lost his son, and he thought he was the cause, and he was partly the cause. And we see that in the Bhagavatam, when there are people of good stock. To err is to human, to forgive is divine, that people make mistakes. But it's not, what's condemned is not the mistakes, but how you react to them. Whether you will accept responsibility, and whether you rectify yourself. Then it's gone. If you're a real Vaishnav and someone makes a mistake and then apologizes sincerely, that mistake is gone. It doesn't exist anymore in your consciousness, and it's never brought up. Because the true Vaishnav will repent for the mistakes he makes. The true Vaishnav will accepts full responsibility for any duties that he accepts. So we see that his father made a mistake. Mistakes are made. The only way not to make a mistake is do nothing. Sometimes people make the mistake of too harshly punishing people who have done service and more or less reward people who have done nothing, who can simply sit in the background and criticize and complain because they've done nothing. So, Dhruva returns. His father is beyond belief at God's mercy. Shadaya Vakyam Deva Share Harshavegena Darshita Vartahatur Atipritho Haram Pradam Mahadhanam. Although he cannot believe the words of the messenger, he had full faith in the word of the great sage Narada. Thus he was greatly overwhelmed by the news, and he immediately offered the messenger a highly valuable necklace in great satisfaction. So, there's no purport here, but it's very beautiful. There's loving exchanges among Vaishnavas. The messenger brought good news, and he offered him some reciprocation. This is the foundation of a devotional society. There's gifts giving and accepting gifts, giving and accepting our hearts, giving and accepting prasadam. It's a Vaishnav society. I always remember the story Garuda told when he was studying at Harvard. And, a professor came, and he was distinguished, and Garuda went to look to his class, and the professor, made the point that there's no instance, of a Vaishnav society in Vedic history or something. And Garuda was incredulous, but he had to observe a certain etiquette because this person was very respectful. So he just asked him a question. He said, "You said there was no Vaishnav society mentioned in Vedic literature. How do you interpret the verse, Machita, Makita, Prana, Bodhiyantas, Parasparam? That Machita, they're my heart. Makita, Prana, they're my life. Bodhiyantas, Parasparam. And they're always enlightening each and one another." Obviously, that's a Vaishnav society. Because this is the main activity of a devotee. They relish Krishna consciousness together. Srindata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyantasto Yabhadrani Vidinoti Siddhitsita. By chanting and hearing, Krishna is pleased. When we chant and hear together, Lord Chaitanya in the Gambhira, it's describing his last part of his life. And it says he's tasting together Krishna consciousness with others. Anyway, there is this kind of reciprocation. It's always beautiful to see what that culture is. Sar ashvam ratam aruhu kartasvara parikshkitam vamanai kula vidyascha payashto matta bandhavi sankhya dundum vinadena pramagoshena venubi nishakrama paraturnam atmaja bhikshanotsuka. Then King Uttanapada, being very eager to see the face of his lost son, mounted a chariot driven by excellent horses and bedecked with golden filigree. Taking with him many learned Brahmins, all the elderly personalities of his family, his officers, his ministers, and his immediate friends, he immediately left the city. As he proceeded in this parade, they were auspicious sounds of conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and the chanting of Vedic mantras to indicate all good fortune. Suniti Surichis Chasya. Suniti Surichis Chasya. Mahishya Rukmabhushate. Aruya Shabikansadam. Uttamena Bijamatu. Both the queens of King Uttanapada, namely Suniti and Suruchi, along with his other son Uttama, appeared in the procession. The queens were seated on a palanquin. Purport: after the departure of Dhruva Maharaj from his palace, the king was very afflicted, but by the kind words of Narada, he was partially satisfied. He could understand the great fortune of his wife Suniti and the great misfortune of Queen Surichi, for these facts were certainly very open in the palace. But still, when the news reached the palace that Dhruva Maharaj was returning, his mother Suniti, out of a great compassion, and due to being the mother of a great Vaishnav, did not hesitate to take the other wife, Surichi, and his son, Uttama, on the same palanquin. That was the greatness of Queen Kunti, the mother of the great Vaishnav, Dhruva Maharaj. So she was, horrible things were said and done. She almost lost her son by the cruelness of her stepmother, Suruchi. Ruchi means enjoyment too, and Suruchi, much enjoyment. I guess that's what it means. And Suniti, Niti means behavior, and Suniti means much behavior. So the Suruchi, the one who wasn't behaved, we see that Mother Suniti completely forgave her. That's a Vaishnava. Always compassionate, even to those who are opposed to them. So he was forgiven. It's a saintly quality to forgive. And she forgave. And we see that in the world today in church shootings, where sometimes the pious people believe in very deep have faith in Jesus, and then when the victim, the perpetrator who may have killed their family on the trial, then even the victim's parents, if they're good Christians, they will forgive the person. Okay, probably I have time for one more verse. Upon seeing Dhruva Maharaj approaching the neighboring small forest, King Uttanapada with great haste got down from his chariot. He'd been very anxious for a long time to see his son Dhruva, and therefore with great love and affection, he went forward to embrace his long-lost boy. Breathing very heavily, the king embraced him with both arms. But Dhruva Maharaj was not the same as before. He was completely sanctified by spiritual advancement due to having been touched by the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. Next verse, 44. Reunion with Dhruva Maharaj fulfilled King Uttanapada's long-cherished desire. For this reason, he smelled Dhruva's head again and again and bathed him with torrents of very cold tears, purport. By nature's way, when a man cries, there may be two causes. When one cries in great happiness upon the fulfillment of some desires, tears come forth from the eyes are very cold and pleasing, with tears in times of distress are very hot. 45. Then Dhruva Maharaj, the foremost of all nobles, first of all offered his obeisances at the feet of his father and was honored by his father. He then bowed his head at the feet of his two mothers. Purport, it may be questioned why Dhruva Maharaj offered his respect not only to his mother, but also to his stepmother, due to whose insults he had to leave home. The answer is that after achieving perfection by self-realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, Dhruva Maharaj was completely free from all contamination of material desire. Feeling insult or honor in this material world, never perceived by a devotee. Lord Chaitanya therefore says that one has to be humbler than the grass, and he recommends more tolerant than the tree to execute devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj therefore has in this verse been described as Sajjanagrani, the foremost of noble men. The pure devotee is the noblest of all, and he has no feelings of animosity towards everyone. Duality due to animosity is a creation of this material world. There is no such thing in the spiritual world was to be absolute reality. Again, I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. It's about 8:05 here. So if anybody has any questions, they may ask. And in India, it's a little difficult because it's at night. When I'm back in the States, it's in the morning and I'm well rested. So anybody have any questions? Oh, we're in presentation mode, so. Anybody like to say hello? You don't need to mute or unmute. It's conversation mode. Everyone can be heard. Hi, Bogiel. You're on your way to the Boxy Center or something?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for
I heard they have a nice Sunday program.
It's gorgeous, Maharaj. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I was always pushing for that, you know, that I saw that Sadhu Sunday program and I didn't lack substance. And I kept on telling them, they have to engage in Shastra. That's what our community needs. Who's the speaker this week? Who leads and facilitates the discussion?
I don't know, but every week is somebody very good.
Yeah, this place is wonderful. It's a blessing to have these spiritual oases. That's great. Okay,
yes,
thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, I'm here. Is that what it is? Thank you. I should have given a class on gratitude, so I'll give a class on gratitude now. Namashreshtam manumati sachi putram atra sarupam rupam tasya rajam uruparim matara ghostavatim radha kundam giribara maho radhika maravasam lapto yasya patita patiyatam natosmi. We're so thankful what Prabhupada gave. Namashreshtam, the holy name, manumati sachi putram, Lord Chaitanya. Radha Kunda. So, wow, I didn't know. Okay, Thanksgiving doesn't mean much. You hardly notice. Okay. Anybody else? Say hello.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Priya.
Priya, Hare Krishna. I was just with your mother today. She told me that when you come back to Vrindavan, she has to take you to Radha Damodar because somehow. It was a mix-up, and you know, you got to see Radha Damodar. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Priya.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Who's
Tatiana.
That? Tatiana. Oh, Tatiana. Hi, right, Bo. Okay,
hi.
Great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Chaitanya Priya. Who else?
Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bo Maharaj. It's Janine.
Janine. Hi, Bo. Okay. Good. We have a nice crew today. I'm going to go now. I got to get up early. Hi, Bo. Why don't you call Patrugra Sekhapasindadevi?